you say, everybody? March Madness, the time of the year where there's opportunity to make a fortune. These companies promote the Foxes, the CBSs. They promote Nissans if you're in the top 1% of the world. Billions of dollars if you have a perfect bracket. And what happens every single year? March ends up being for the cowards. The cowards win. There's a reason why Obama was president for 8 years and he chooses the ones and twos every single time. This is the play, Houdini. This is what you should do. You take the one seeds and the two seeds all the way to the Elite Eight, and from there, you pick what feels right. And that's how you win your bracket, time and time again, probably. Would love to see the stats of people that take ones and two seeds to the Elite Eight, how many times they win. But for whatever reason, I cannot stick to that strategy, and my bracket is one of the worst in the country. Welcome to the show, Houdini.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. Thanks for having me today. This is the sixth time that we've had all the ones and twos advance to the Sweet 16 in one tournament. You're probably right. Statistically, if you pick the ones and twos, you probably got a better shot. But the beauty of picking out the bracket is about taking the dogs. You got to pick the right dog, the right 11 seed, the right 12 seed to advance, the right 14 seed to beat the 3 seed. That's the beauty of picking the bracket. There's no honor in taking all the ones and twos and chalking it all the way up to the Final Four. That's no fun. So while you might be right statistically, I think that is a cowardice way to do it.
It is. And that's why I said, yeah, that Billis. That's why I said no UConn this year. I was saying Auburn. Auburn takes them down in the Sweet 16. And what do? I trust the computers. I trust that only team that had a top 10 offense and defense, KenPom's secret sauce. And guess what? The secret sauce was terrible. It ruined my March before it even started. So that's where I stand. Auburn, Kentucky, Baylor, Final Four, I said on this show, three of them already see it. I couldn't take UConn, man. I knew they were the best team in the country. I just could not do it. It was cowardice. Seth Greenberg's taking them to the national championship, that's for sure. Probably winning it all, I'd say, with this comment. He literally said UConn could make the Eastern Conference playoffs. New segment, genius or jackass?
Certified jackass. Wait a minute. When you sent me this, initially I thought it was Mike Greenberg. Is it Seth Greenberg or Mike?
No, it was Mike. Seth was actually on the panel and called him a jackass. Yes, sorry, okay. Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
It's Greeny.
I apologize. It's way funnier that it was Greeny, though, because he was dead. He was dead serious. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, apparently he said it on Get Up. He said that the UConn Huskies, theoretically, they could finish better than, let's say, the Chicago Bulls, who have DeMar DeRozan, Colby White, Caruso. I mean, they got LaVine.
They have three All-Stars. Vucevic, they have three All-Stars.
Yeah. They got fucking guys. I mean, the whole team, it's an NBA team. Patrick Williams, they're loaded, okay? The UConn Huskies would fucking finish dead last in the NBA. They'd probably be 40 games under 500 at best. So, yeah, Mike Greenberg, and, you know, he probably ran this by his wife the night before. He's like, I think I got a really, really poignant take tomorrow for the show. And he's like, what is it? I think the UConn Huskies could make the playoffs of the Eastern Conference. Like, that's great, Mike. And he, like, walked
run with it
confidently to the set. And that's the dumbest shit. Like, so bad. They do this every year with some team. But UConn, out of all the teams we've seen, has no business being mentioning there. They don't have fucking five top 10 picks on the roster. Come on. Get out of here. I don't even care what year it is. It was never going to be true. But Mike Greenberg, certified jackass. Put the stamp of approval from Houdini on that.
Could they win one game in an 82-game season or 83-game season with 82?
Sure.
With rest and all the things that go down? I mean, sure, potentially. Yes, maybe they could win one game, four games. But to make the playoffs or the play-ins, you got to be hovering around 500. Lunacy. Lunacy right there. But UConn,
so they're playing like the Boston Celtics in the first round.
Yeah.
Like they're matching up with Tatum and those guys and Porzingis.
The same UConn team.
Mike,
the same UConn team that lost to Providence at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. They couldn't handle the dunk, but God forbid, they're going to go into Indiana and take down the Pacers.
Yeah, he's like, Providence, they'd probably finish 10th in the conference. I don't maybe sneak in, but it's like, Mike, shut up. Shut up. Let's get a new segment for fucking Get Up. They need to figure it out.
Chalkiest tournament we've had in a while. The Sweet 16 is set. It's a 6 versus a 2. That would be Clemson. So Clemson is one of the Cinderellas because aside from that, it's 5 versus 1, 4 versus 1, 3 versus 2, another 3 versus a 2, another 4 versus a 1, another 5 versus a 1, and then you have NC State is the 11. So two Cinderellas right now, NC State and Clemson. They're both Power 5 Cinderellas, which in my opinion, I like a little more than getting that VCU or that Wichita State or the Florida Atlantic or the team that makes the great run. But once they get there, you know they're getting their asses beat in the Final Four. George Mason.
The thing is, we're still at the Sweet 16. I think it's gone a little too chalky for my liking. I needed a little bit more upsets. I know we got the Oakland over Kentucky. We had the Yale over Auburn, but those Cinderellas died quite literally 2 days later. And we got, yeah, NC State. We're talking Clemson as a Cinderella. What do we know? These are like legit programs. We needed Oakland to keep this going. Unfortunately, what, Oakland played NC State, right?
Yeah.
Was that how that went?
Two Cinderellas.
11
into overtime. Yep. Great game.
Yeah, see, but that's tough. We needed Golkey. We needed our guy Golkey to stay in this tournament and then have the rest of these teams be these Power 5 programs so we could root for the underdog. But unfortunately, we didn't get it. So that's why I give it like a C+ for the first two rounds as far as the March Madness is concerned. We had some good moments, but nothing crazy.
I don't think you can get a C in the tournament. I think even the COVID year got like a B- in my opinion. Every year is getting an A or a B. Even dating back to the old tournaments, which I thought were equally as electric, where you could only watch one game at a time. CBS was your only option, and they had the four screens up on the TV, you know, the score bug up there, and Greg Gumbel would always cut in. Live update from New York. The Arkansas Razorbacks fall to the Delaware Blue Hens in the first threes taken down by the 14 in this tournament. Now let's send it over to Northwestern State, Iowa, and they cut back and there'd just be another three at the buzzer. And that was electric when you could only watch the one game at a time. Nowadays, it's basketball galore. You cannot get away from it. But Jack Golkey, I wish we saw him a little bit more, man. An NIL hero. First of all, he had only shot 8 two-pointers the entire year. Took 335 shots. 327 of them were threes. 327, for God's sakes. Afterwards, NIL, it helped him out big time. He was doing B-dub sponsorships from his hotel room. Oh, you got to try the Jammin' Jalapeno, everyone. Then he was doing, you know, Spalding, dribbling a basketball on the hotel lobby floor. Was making big-time bucks afterwards, and you're under the impression that this guy's going to be making big time bucks from this tournament forever and not in the NBA.
Yeah, no. I mean, we know this. And he was doing a TurboTax ad like 10 minutes after the game, like on Twitter and whatnot. He was already like and that's the beauty of NIL. This is the good side of it. I don't think there's, you know, sometimes we see the negatives, but a kid like this that is just a shooting star. Nobody knows who the hell this kid is, but lights the world on fire for at least a game or two. Now they can actually capitalize on that, make some money, right? This guy's not going to be playing professional basketball. I mean, he only shoots threes. That's one of the funniest stats I've ever seen, but rightfully so. He was banging them in against Kentucky, kept it going. And yeah, you know he's going to do this moving forward. 30 years from now, he'll be in his hometown. You'll see the commercial. He'll be working Golkey Toyota out in wherever, Vermont, wherever he's from, and he'll say, I used to hit triples on the court, but now you can say triple on a Golkey Toyota. And then it's going to be like, get to the lot now. And we're going to see those commercials, and I'm gonna flash back to this moment when Golkey lit the world on fire. So I'm excited for him and what he was able to do with this.
Yeah, and hopefully no scandals happen where it goes from Golkey Toyota to Golkey Kia, like Ashley Schaefer Kia. But that was one of my favorite moments of the tournament. Auburn, who was my national champion pick to try and be different, them losing to those nerds at Yale, that was not one of my favorite moments. The Dayton fan crying after a first-round win, man, that was as good as it got content-wise because everyone was bashing the dude. They're like, dude, you just beat a 10 seed. I know it was a great comeback, but easy on crying me a river right now. The dude was in tears. You would have thought that he was coaching his last-ever basketball game in the national championship at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And his dad was John Hinkle that built the building. And they were down 17 points and came back and won on a last-second half-court shot. And instead, it was just some drunk dude at a bar after two liquor pitchers that was in tears. He was crying into his buddy's arms. But we were there once. We were young.
Oh, yeah. I was. How old was – I'm trying to even find the damn picture or video of this guy. How old are we talking? Is this a little kid?
21. He was a Dayton student.
He's young. Are you kidding me? That's a child, okay? Oh, yeah. No, 21 is hilarious. I was thinking for a second it was like a 12-year-old and everyone was just tweeting back at him, grow the fuck up, dude. It wasn't that big of a win, kid. Welcome to the real world. Yeah, no, so that's – yeah, you can't be an adult in crying over a first-round win. I mean,
Sweet 16,
a
though. I'll let you have some tears. I mean, as a Bearcat fan, we get to the Sweet 16, may shed some tears. But first round. Yeah, you can't have that.
You can't. 21. God, that must be tough. This guy's never going to live it down. We had a mutual buddy of ours, Chip, had that picture of him at the Xavier, which went kind of viral, where he's watching the game, watching Xavier. So you can
Florida State,
you
yeah.
can get in those yeah in those losses and those heart wrenching losses like that. It can get to the feels, but yeah, you can't. As a grown man, you can't just start bawling your eyes out. It's a tough – listen, we've all been there. When I was 8 years old, there's no doubt about it. There was tears coming out. And then slowly, you don't even get any better. You just stop crying and you start throwing a fit. Like, you just start having an absolute temper tantrum as a 30-year-old because your team can't fucking box out or something. So you never really grow out of it, but it's tough on national TV. Leave the stadium, dude. You got to get out of there. You can't be doing it.
No, I remember circa 2002. Steve Logan and company. Leonard Stokes scored 39, but it was not enough to take down Steve Lavin, Dan Gedzurek, and Matt Barnes in the, I think, 8-seeded UCLA Bruins. The 1-seeded Bearcats upset early. And I was in tears, and I was angry then. I had a little 30-year-old in me. I went upstairs. I slammed the door shut to my bathroom, and the mirror came crashing down. Massive mirror, like a 6x6 mirror, just came crashing down and cut me up pretty good. So you want to talk about Auburn losing first round and why I'm unlucky? It's the mirror, man. 10 years of bad luck. But it's been 20. My teams can't win anything. So, yeah, we've all been there. We've all cried. Duquesne wasn't crying. They get their first win since 77, then get their asses beat by Illinois, who looks like one of the most dangerous teams in the tournament. Oregon playing one of the best games in the tournament. A double overtime thriller against Creighton. And I'll tell you what, Houdini, the parlay came crashing down. I took a 9-gamer. It was Saturday when every favorite won. So I did the favorites parlay, and I left one short. I took Oregon, the 11 seed. It was like plus 190 money line. And I added in Ohio State money line in the NIT, and they won that game as well. So here I am. 5 games go by. I've won them all. The cash out option's like $120 for a $30 bet to win 960. And I say, I can't cash this out. It's not a good enough margin. I get to the second to last game. It's Tennessee and it's Texas. The cash out's at like 400 as it simultaneously ends with the start of the Creighton-Oregon game. At that point, I just hedge $100 on Creighton. I'm like, I'm going to at least triple my bet, and I let it ride. And there was a chance there with about 30 seconds left to cash out with $800. Could have cashed out $800 right there. And I didn't, and Oregon somehow blew a 4-point lead in 20 seconds with the ball, and I won nothing but the hedge. So, Houdini, you've had advice for a while now. Tell it to the faithful.
You gotta cash out. Any opportunity you have, kids, I feel like Billy Madison grabbing the cheeks of that kid. You gotta cash out, folks. You always cash out, okay? You gotta do it.
Don't stay for as long as you can. Yeah. Get out.
Get out now, because every time you don't, you get royally fucked. Every single time, you got to cash out when you can. It's tough these days being on the delay with the streaming on YouTube TV and all that stuff and Fubo, whatever it is. So you have a limited amount of time if you're actually watching the game and you cut the cord. So, but only advice, man. Nobody's ever regretted cashing out. Just do it.
Just cash out. So we got a bunch of favorites taking place this weekend. Actually, will be a very good Sweet 16. Not a lot of BS matchups. I think NC State may be in it to win it. Those Wolfpack fans, they're behind Kevin Keats right now. He was getting ready to get fired about 2 weeks ago and had a clause in his contract that if he won the ACC tournament, he got an extra 2 years. So now I know a lot of Wolfpack fans that are like, we don't think he's a good coach, but hey, we're going to enjoy it while it lasts, and this was in his contract, so so be it. So good for Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack, but should be a really good upcoming weekend of basketball. One thing that has not been good is those out there that are homeowners, typically of very wealthy homes, and are dealing with a squatting issue in the United States. One just came down from Atlanta where a squatter living on someone's 9-acre land is now trying to sue the homeowner $190K for telling that squatter to pack his bags. It's wild right now. It's getting out of control, man. This is why I don't want to be rich. Can't have an extra house. Someone's just going to squat and take it.
Right. I mean, but at the same time, they could just do this to an average house too. They'll probably be coming for the, you know, the basic mid-range homes as well. They'll be like, fuck, everyone else got all the loaded ones, so we're just going to
go for a ranch.
Two-bedroom. Yeah. Yeah, they're like a two-bedroom. I mean, hey, the basement's not finished, but I mean, we can make it work. Yeah, I've been reading on this. I don't know much about it. Apparently, this is a thing, I think, like specifically in a few states that have certain laws. Not a lawyer. But yeah, apparently there was, you know, multiple stories of guys, just somebody goes out to go to get groceries, and next thing you know, they're like, what the fuck? The locks have been changed. They just see some guy sitting on the couch, and he comes out like, what are you guys doing here? He's like, no, they're like, this is our house. Like, no. He's got pictures up and whatnot. He goes, this is my home. And quite frankly, I'm going to sue you for even trying to enter my fucking domicile. Okay. So, and apparently it's due to the court being backed up in some of these states. So you got to go to homeowners court, and that can be delayed for years even. From what I heard, that's probably an exaggeration, the fear mongering going on the internet. But what a wild scenario. Never leave your house, folks. Just stay indoors.
Yeah, my mom actually told me, and my mom's full of shit. I got to preface this. So believe Tina or not, but I don't know what she has to lose here. Brought it up out of nowhere. Said that she knows a very wealthy realtor in Cincinnati that has millions of dollars in homes across the city. And one of those homes was looking to sell that home of her own house. And someone that was a little disheveled came and said, okay, I don't think this person has the money, but you can't judge a book by its cover. Gave the person the tour. The person was very interested, came back a few times and kept, you know, checking out the house, but not making an offer. And then the next time the realtor came back, the lady was just living there, and she did exactly what you said. No, this is my house. And now is basically living there. It's her house. And the other lady can't do anything about it. So wild times right now in the world of squatting.
Yeah, interesting. Why put an offer in on the house when you're like, you know what? I'm just going to, if I just sleep here for a night, it's mine. I just looked it up. It says 20, you gotta be there for 21 years in Ohio before now it's legally their home. So if you guys, if anyone's listening, we don't recommend doing this, but apparently if you just kind of live somewhere for 21 years, so by the time I'm like 51, I will legally own that house. So don't go on vacation for 20 years, because Houdini might be living there by the time you get back.
The Cask of the Amontillado. It was a book by Edgar Allan Poe and had something to do with buried caverns. But you build yourself a cavern, and I'm not resonating to any squatters right here, but you build yourself a cavern in like LeBron James's home, just way underground, but it's still the property, right? And then after 21 years, you have a big hobbit beard. You've been living underground with Gandalf, and you come out and you knock on LeBron's door and you say, excuse me, are King James? Oh, yeah. When'd you retire? Oh, you're still playing. You're still 60. Okay. Still waiting for Bronny. No. Okay. Oh, he's the realtor of this house. Okay. Never made it to the NBA. Anyways, literally, that's something that technically could happen. You know, you build yourself a little fortress down below the ground. I don't know how that's done, but 21 years later, whichever property it is, no, that's legally yours. That's your house.
Apparently so. That reminds me of, I never heard of this either. There's this phenomenon called frogging. I saw a movie on it. It freaked me the hell out. It's like where you actually live in their home while the people live there. Like you find like a weird nook or cranny in the basement and have your own little spot and a bed. And now I constantly, in our shithole, scary-ass basement, the house that was built in the 1800s, I check, like, the corners to make sure there's not some guy just been living down there. You know, because it's freaky. It'll be like a story where they open an old closet, and there's just, like, a bed and a, you know, a Nintendo 64 and a mattress and all that and a couch.
And N64. And he still can't beat Mario 64. He's got 119 stars, but he can't find Yoshi. Oh, man. Yeah. Leave it to the 64 down there. Yeah, that's all you need. 20 years. Solitary confinement. You get that house eventually.
You're right.
So,
absolutely.
Let's go with a little more of a conspiracy than that one, because there's validity behind that based off the legit news articles I've read. But I'm down a Twitter conspiracy rabbit hole right now, and I don't know why, because I don't click on them. But I must have clicked on one, and they're all hitting up my feed right now. And good God. I mean, thank God I'm a decently intelligent human being and know that all these people, or half of them, are probably artificial intelligence. The other half are complete morons. But right now they're saying that in the last 5 years, Joe Biden is actually dead, and it's a double wearing a mask. And they're like zooming in on pictures, and they're like, no, look at the difference between 2018 and 2024. And I'm like, yeah, it was 6 years ago. Of course his skin looks leathery. It's the wax man. But that's a Twitter conspiracy that's gone crazy. And then Tom Hanks all of a sudden is popping up all over my Twitter. It's like, Tom Hanks is actually evil. Tom Hanks. You remember, it used to be Bill Gates. It's now Tom Hanks that apparently, Woody, for God's sakes, and Big. He's actually a lunatic, per my Twitter. So that's what's going on right now with the algorithm. It thinks I'm a conspiracy guy. What the hell, man? I mean, why does it do this to me? All I want to see is some John Rothstein tweets and some replies to Mike Greenberg.
It sucks, because I've seen this shit too. Because if you click like one of them, like one of them, it'll be like kind of interesting. You'll click it and it'll say like, read more. And then it gets into this just in-depth, insane conspiracy. And it's like the Illuminati pyramid thing. Like,
you've seen the Illuminati account. You've seen that account. It's everywhere. Oh, yeah. I hate it. Okay. So.
It's granted. It's got some interest. It's like, hold on, what? They're like, yeah, Tom Hanks, he's had a body double. That's why his acting has gone down so badly and recently in the last 5 years. Like, you're telling me Tom Hanks, the guy that was talking to a volleyball for fucking 20 years in a movie, is all of a sudden doing a shitty job landing a plane in the Hudson River? So it can get crazy. But Tom Hanks is the number one target right now. I don't know if he's a bad guy or what, but they're coming after Tom Hanks heavily, like from all angles. Tom Hanks is like a serpent. He's like a lizard man. I don't know.
Yeah,
I see it a lot, though. You're right.
I saw one that was pulled up with Mark Wahlberg, and of course they used the picture of him with an Ash Wednesday cross on his forehead. And it's like, there's a reason why Mark Wahlberg said he would never do a movie with Tom Cruise. Or Cruise may have been there too, but Tom Hanks.
They're coming to Cruise, too.
They're coming to Cruise now. The chatter's coming to Cruise. Real, recognize real. And it's just, it's out of control, man. I can't deal with the conspiracy theories. If you listen and you want to have fun and put on your tinfoil hats, great. I just want it off my feed, please. And it just, they keep pumping it to me. They're trying to get me. They're like, no, this guy is built for this stuff. And I'm like, no, I am not. This stuff is stupid. They're like, no, we're going to get you. He's a serpent, man. Tom Hanks is a serpent, man. Acting's gone down.
The thing is,
hate it.
That's what they do, though. If they feed enough info to you, over time, all of a sudden, you're looking at you like, when I see Tom Hanks now, I hear Woody's voice, I go, that bastard. I go, that son of a bitch. It's starting to get to me. It's coming into my subconscious. And yeah, I don't know. I don't even really know the stories or what they're, you know, what Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise or whatever. But the thing is, they're going to find one of these celebrities that did some fucked up stuff, guarantee it. And then it's going to be like the floodgates are going to open.
We told you.
Like, everybody's done that. Like, they're all crazy. Yeah. So whatever, we'll see what happens. We're monitoring the situation here.
Yeah, there's one that popped up on my timeline yesterday, and it was the selfie picture of Ellen DeGeneres and Brad Pitt and Bradley Cooper and all them. And it was like, this is what all the kids see as they get out of the crate on Epstein's Island. I'm like, why the hell is this popping up? I don't even follow this person. Like, what the hell is going on with Twitter to where that image is popping up on my feed? I'm just trying to eat my morning Pop-Tart. I mean, good God, man.
It
sucks.
Yeah.
Watch
out for the algorithm, folks.
Yeah, watch out for the algorithm. Speaking of the algorithm, Houdini against big AI right now. Recently, Houdini came out with a banger about 2 weeks ago. If you saw it on our Instagram, at the Chatter Podcast, watch it again. Get the numbers up. He had basketball bingo.
It was like fucking 5 days. It was like 4 days ago.
Basketball bingo. That wasn't 4 days ago.
Oh, the basketball bingo.
The basketball bingo. This is where the AI came into play. And I post it on our TikTok page. I try to be a hero and post like three that day. And I post the second one too close. And it was doing all right. You know, had like 1,000 views and 30 likes for a page that had, you know, 32 followers or whatever. And I was hoping that by deleting it and spreading out a little bit, that maybe, just maybe, we would get lucky and this thing would take off. Because it had the ingredients to be, you know, semi-viral. It played up to the challenge that was on Twitter with the bingo. And I thought it had some legs. I posted a second time, didn't do well. I deleted again, posted a third time. Not a single human being saw this third video. Even my followers weren't getting it pumped too. The algorithm hated it. And because it tagged Houdini in it, the algorithm hated Houdini for a bit. And every single tweet or Instagram or whatever that showed his face, TikTok, it blocked it, essentially. It wouldn't pump it to anyone. They're like, this guy's a fraud. And then Houdini came out with his March Madness song, and he beat the algorithm, reaching, 46,000 people? Congrats. 46,000 people watched Houdini singing a song about March Madness.
Wow. Who would have thought, man? But yeah, the algorithm, I remember I was like, Chuck, are you deleting and reposting a video? I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I immediately go, oh, I guarantee this is what it is. I Google it and they're like, dude, it's like every thread's like, do not delete and repost. The algorithm will put you in prison for life. And they're like, even the person you tag is fucked. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh God. And I just posted that March Madness song thing. And it said, it was like 10 minutes in, it had 4 views. I'm like, Chuck, what have you done to me? And then, I don't know, I guess the Twitter or the TikTok gods somehow released me from prison. And then it started to take off a little bit. Hopefully we'll get some more bangers out there, right? To keep the content flowing, hopefully.
Yes, we will.
We'll be back.
All right, games this weekend. Clemson, Arizona. Quick pick, who wins? I don't even want reasoning. Just give me a winner.
Clemson.
Clemson. All right. Boom. Take Clemson with 7.5. So 6 seeds moving on. San Diego State, UConn. We're both in agreeance. UConn. I don't think Darion Trammell and Ladee have it this year. UConn in a rematch.
Oh, yeah. UConn. Absolutely.
UConn. Blah. Alabama, North Carolina. I'm taking North Carolina.
Bama.
Bama.
Roll Tide.
Okay. Roll Tide. Illinois, Iowa State. I think Illinois is playing great basketball right now. Give me Illinois. I know you love Iowa State.
Give me Iowa State.
Okay. Moving on, NC State Marquette. Give me NC State, a team of destiny.
I'll go NC State. Big dude, electric. NC State.
Gonzaga, Purdue. I love the Zags. I love the few, the proud Zags. I'm taking Zach Edey. Purdue wins.
Go. I got to stick with my guy, Mark Few. Let's go Gonzaga.
Duke,
they'll
Houston.
Probably lose. They'll probably get their ass beat.
I'm taking Duke. Houston. Okay.
Houston. Okay.
I said Duke sucks last show, and now I'm taking Duke to the Final Four. Creighton, Tennessee, I'm taking the Vols.
Vols as well.
Vols as well. I think I picked against every single Big East team, and the Big East is undefeated. But good God, the Providence Friars, they'd be the 9 seed in the East, according to Mike Greenberg. Just let them in the tournament. This has been The Chatter with Chuck and Houdini. Subscribe to the podcast, leave us 5 stars, and we will see you next time. See ya.